give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works. Please take a seat. Let's sing our first hymn this morning, From All That Dwell Below the Skies.
Friends, welcome. Thank you for joining us in person here at Scots Church in the heart of the beautiful city of Melbourne, though busy traffic this morning for many of you trying to get here, I know. Welcome too if you're joining us via live streaming on YouTube, as I know lots of people do. Good to have you with us today too. If you are new to Scots, please grab one of these cards and introduce yourself, say hi, fill it in. Leave it at the foyer desk or scan the QR code and let us know about your visit. We did find one that was filled in on the 6th of June that someone had left behind in the seats. We found that just the other day. Please don't do that. Please make sure you give it to Michael on your way out if you do fill in a card. Also, if you're visiting, do pick up a copy of our magazine, The Leaflet. Just a reminder that Kids Church resumes today. Kids can join our leaders at the back during the third hymn. If you are the parent of a slightly nervous child, feel free to go along with them and get them settled in. Our midweek small groups resume this Tuesday. We'll be studying the first letter of John this term. Our usual routine is this. There's prayer from 6 p.m. There's a meal to share at 6:30. And small group Bible study begins at 7 p.m. And everyone is very welcome. It's a great crew, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it if you come along. Today, you are warmly invited to our Mission Partners Lunch in the Westpac Function Room immediately behind me with Colin and Alison Morrow to hear more about their work with Presbyterian Inland Mission. And I'm glad to welcome Colin as our guest preacher a little later this morning. Also, a welcome to Reverend Stuart Bonington, National Superintendent of PIM, who's come all the way from Western Australia to be with us today. Now, also on the topic of food and special lunches, during this week, we have our monthly fellowship lunch, Wednesday, 16th of October. All the details are in your order of service. The guest speaker, the only downside, the guest speaker is me. And I gather the idea is to present a little bit of a potted biography of all the interesting bits of my life, which may not take all that long. But the lunch will be good. Please bring a plate of food to share for lunch if you're coming. Now, I need to advise you formally that all communicants and adherents of the Scots Church are invited to attend the annual business meeting to be held here in the church immediately following the 11 a.m. service on Sunday, the 27th of October. The annual report will be circulated electronically for your consideration prior to the meeting, and printed copies are available on request to the office. If you'd like a printed copy, please contact Wendy through the week and we'll have them here for you next Sunday. Finally, and this one is much more fun, congratulations to James and Lisa on the arrival of baby Sebastian John. If you haven't met them in person already, you'll have heard Lisa in the choir, and they said they were hoping to be here this morning. I don't see them around, so that'll be next week. You might hear from little Sebastian, depending on how well he's sleeping. But it's fantastic to be a church that's growing in the number of bubs around the place, and we do thank God for that. We're going to sing a great hymn of worship now, Worship the Lord.
Let us pray. O Lord, you are good and holy, majestic and strong, merciful and gracious. You've spoken to make yourself known. You've chosen a people for your own possession. Draw us near that we may respond. Hear us when we call. Faith, hope, and love belong to you, O Lord, and these are the gifts of your blessing. They are the treasures of your name. Give us faith for the day of trouble. Give us hope while we wait. Give us love in all things. Lord, we ask today that in word and song, we would hear of your great deeds. Encourage our hearts in Jesus Christ to love and serve you, to join in your mission to this city and world. We give all thanks and praise for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the great mediator, the great shepherd of the sheep. Care for us and protect us, we pray, for your fame and honor and glory, forever and ever. Amen. We pray as Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you very much, choir. This morning and lunchtime, I think you're going to be reminded and made aware of God's mission through this church, through his people, and around his world. We're going to take up an offering during this next hymn for those very purposes. Let's sing "What a Friend We Have in Jesus."
Please be seated. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, you have been our refuge through all generations. Before the mountains existed, or you created the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Lord, thank you for the goodness an unwavering love you have shown us through your Son, Jesus. And Lord Jesus, thank you for your impartiality, leading men and women of faith to fulfill your will on earth, not only as recipients of your word, but also as messengers, and not just as citizens of your kingdom, but as ambassadors in you. Gracious God, we are grateful for the presence of Reverend Colin and Alison Morrow from the Presbyterian Inland Mission among us. We give thanks for their mission work and ministry. We thank the Lord for Colin and Alison's continued blessings, strength, and ministry, as well as for our mission partners. We sincerely pray that Colin and Alison's unwavering faith in Jesus will inspire more individuals to develop a personal relationship with Jesus and receive salvation. And we pray for safety and protection as they conduct patrols in New South Wales and Victoria with the goal of reaching more individuals through the gospel. And we pray for strength in their ministry at San Gracia Presbyterian Church, and there they experienced a fruitful outreach. Lord of the Church, we thank you for the Presbyterian Church of Victoria Assembly gathering recently. We are grateful for the Assembly results and continue to pray for peaceful resolutions, especially for Scots Church and the PCFA. As another year of work lies ahead, O God, we trust that through faith this will be resolved in your perfect will. And we seek your blessings and guidance that you would grant wisdom, strength, unity, and peace to all involved. Eternal God, we lift up all our church activities this semester, especially this week's and upcoming small groups, prayer gatherings, and also Kids Church. And we thank you, loving God, for being our strength and refuge. And please help us acknowledge you in everything we do, so your name will forever be glorified. We seek your blessings for the fellowship luncheon this Wednesday, where Reverend Phil Campbell will share his journey of faith and ministry. We pray that others will be encouraged to join us and participate in fellowship. We ask for your healing grace for the sick within our church community and for strength and protection for our seniors. Loving God, we remember Anne Truong as she grieves the loss of her husband, Wayne. And we pray for Anne and her family to receive strength, comfort, and peace in Christ during this challenging time. God of love and life, we celebrate the joy of a newborn baby boy in our church community. Thank you, Lord, for Sebastian John Conroy, the beloved son of James Conroy and Lizzie Swart, who joyfully welcomed their first child. We ask for your blessings on Sebastian and his parents so they may grow in love for you. Loving, precious God, we continue to pray for those affected by Hurricanes Helene and Milton in the U.S., as well as what's happening in the Middle East and the Ukraine conflicts. Lord, we seek mercy, healing, and peace for all. May your Spirit bring comfort to the grieving, strength to the exhausted, shelter to those who have lost everything. May your Spirit bring peace in turmoil and hope to the brokenhearted and places, that you would restore what is shattered and guide them toward healing and renewal through your ever-present Spirit. God of goodness and grace, we humbly offer our tithes and offering to you. Please accept and bless them, and may our lives reflect the truth of the gospel. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning's first Bible reading is from Psalm 105, verses 1 to 5. You can follow along in your order of service. Tell of all his wondrous works. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. Amen.
Oh,
This morning's second Bible reading is from John chapter 4, verses 27 to 38. Just then, his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, 'There are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest'? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, 'One sows and another reaps.' I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Amen, and thanks be to God.
It's wonderful to be back, especially standing up here. For those of you who may not know, I think the last time I was standing here was in 2019, at around about this time of the year. So it's good to be back. Before we come to look at God's word, let's pray, shall we? Almighty and ever-living God, as we come before you this day, we ask that you would bless the thoughts of our minds so that we would be focused on you, and that the words of my lips would be acceptable in your sight. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've seen and read PIM's latest on-track pamphlet, you would know that my wife, Alison, and I recently celebrated 10 years of service with PIM, Presbyterian Inland Mission. The implication under Victorian state legislation was that we were entitled to take long service leave. Well, we took it. And while we were away, we went on a cruise on a P&O liner called the Iona. And whilst on the cruise, we attended one of the organised activities, a Christian gathering on Sunday morning in one of the conference rooms. Well, there were about 30 people there when we arrived, and it appeared that no one was in charge or had been organised to lead. So after a brief spell, I asked them if they'd be happy if I led a brief worship service, because I was also a pastor of a church in Australia. I didn't mention that I was a member of a PIM team back in Australia, though. Well, they were very happy, and so I began a short worship service. I selected as my text the Psalm 105, a psalm which is all about God's faithfulness in fulfilling his promise to bring Israel out of Egypt. But verse 1 is a key driver of how people should respond in his faithfulness as he delivers, or how God will respond in his faithfulness as he delivers on his promises. It's the key driver for our work with PIM as we seek out people in inland Australia, because as PIM's tagline says, they're worth driving for. But that verse, Psalm 105, verse 1, will be my focus today. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples." It's a simple verse, and yet when I went back to the original Hebrew, I discovered that in essence there were three commands in that verse. There was a command to give thanks. The phrase, "Oh, give thanks," in English is just one word in the Hebrew. And the second command or instruction is to call upon his name. And the third command is the instruction to make known his deeds among the people. And those are the 3 points I spoke on that cruise ship, and those are the 3 points I want to expand on here today. So my first point, the command to give thanks to the Lord. Well, in what circumstances should we as believers give thanks to God? From the context of the psalm, we know we should give thanks because he does what he says he's going to do. It's a case of if God said he was going to do it, then he was going to do it, or he has already done it. He is faithful. He delivers what he says he will do. And what he says he will do, he will do. Alison and I also give thanks for the faithful and prayerful and financial support of those who send us out into the mission field as well. Presbyterian Inland Mission could not carry out its mission today without people just like each of you here today. But also Paul, in his letter to the church at Philippi, at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." In times of anxiety, in times of struggle, we are again commanded to be thankful in prayer as we make our requests known to God. When you think about that from the human perspective, that's not always easy, is it? You've received bad news from your doctor. Your child or loved one is suffering. Or has happened to us when we're out on patrol. You're out on patrol and your daughter is having a very difficult pregnancy, and you can't just drop everything and go and see her. How do you give thanks to God in those situations? You've lost your job. You can't make loan repayments on your house or your car. How do you give thanks to God as you turn to him in prayer, asking for things, or as our text says, making supplication? It's not all that easy, is it? I'm not saying pain isn't pain, and anxiety isn't anxiety, and suffering in any form isn't suffering, but the command is to continue to be thankful. And I think the reason why is because despite what you're going through, God is faithful. Despite what we've had to go through, God doesn't forget his personal promise to us and to you who believe in Jesus Christ. The gift of salvation, that undeserved, gracious gift of God given to those of us who believe, is something we should be thankful for always. So the call in verse 1 of Psalm 105 is not an easy one, is it? And yet nonetheless, we should never forget, even in our suffering, our loneliness, our hardship, and not just in the happy, buzzy times of life, We should never forget to give thanks to the Lord. Now to the second command, the command to call upon his name. Now, what does calling upon the name of the Lord mean? Well, it certainly doesn't mean using God's name in vain. Using Jesus Christ or God or Christ as a swear word is not calling on the name of the Lord. Even just using God's name carelessly in your everyday speech is not calling on the name of the Lord. I remember well as a new Christian being asked by my best friend why I was using the name of the person he loved most in the world as a swear word, when I was saying things like, God, no, or just exclaiming, Jesus Christ, carelessly in my everyday speech. Well, I took notice of my friend's words and I stopped straight away. I exercised self-control. I removed that type of speech from my vocabulary. Calling on the name of the Lord is not to use his name in vain. So what is calling upon the name of the Lord? Well, verse 4 of Psalm 105 tells us, it says there, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Calling upon the Lord involves seeking him and his strength, trusting in him and his strength, and not our own. Calling upon the Lord is something done in humble prayer. It's asking or pleading with him to act, to do something. It's asking him to supply our needs, to protect us, both in the bush and you here in the city. It's acknowledging his provision for us. I remember another friend of mine saying of the importance of prayer, that it's amazing how so many of the strange coincidences stop happening when you forget to pray, when you neglect your personal prayer life. So as we obey the command to call upon the name of the Lord, we are acting in faith. We're acting in the way God would have us act toward him. It was our Lord who gave us guidance on how we should call upon God when he taught us what we know today as the Lord's Prayer. And again, in Matthew chapter 9, he taught us again to call upon the Lord and plead with him as the Lord of the harvest to send workers into the harvest field. And finally, again, our Lord told us in John's Gospel at chapter 14 that as believers in faith, we can ask for anything in his name. So be encouraged in your thankfulness. Call upon the name of the Lord. Be in constant and consistent prayer. Trust in him that he will provide all that you need, which may not be what you always want. And don't use his name in vain. So finally, the third command, make known his deeds among the peoples. The Israelites had this command. We have this command. We, like Israel before the cross, are to make known what he has done to all the peoples. It's PIM's mission. It's the mission of the church. I pointed out earlier that Psalm 105 is all about recalling how God was faithful in his covenant with Abraham. Well, verse 5 of the Psalm tells us to remember him. It says there, remember the wondrous deeds, the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he has uttered. In that psalm, he recounts just some of God's saving works in calling Israel out of Egypt. But we, on this side of the cross, should be telling others of God's deeds, the deed of sending his Son into this world to do his work, or his deed of redemption, his work of reconciliation as the Christ suffered and died in our place. So as PIM, we need to be telling others of his deeds. But I ask you, as believers here and online, should you also be telling others of his deeds? We should be bold. You and I both should be bold in telling the people of his deeds. We shouldn't discriminate as to who you will share with. And why I say that is because of the incident we read from in John's Gospel of our Lord's encounter with the woman at the well at Sychar. Let's just briefly explore that. A woman came to the well in the middle of the day to draw water. From the text we can discern she was an outcast and a woman. And yet Christ spoke with this social outcast, this sinner who the world rejected. Christ told her of the hope that may be found in him. Well, what did she do? She, the outcast, went and told everyone in town, and eventually they came to faith as well. Now compare that with what the text reveals of the mind of the disciples at that time. They arrive back from town, presumably with Macca's or KFC for lunch, and John 4, verse 27, tells us of their reaction. It says, his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman. But no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? Basically, they were aghast. They didn't say anything, but they marveled, as our translation puts it. To them, it appears that it was socially unacceptable to do what the Christ was doing. They had in their minds a view of who it's right to talk with. But their view then wasn't and isn't Christ's view. Now, in our role in Presbyterian Inland Mission, we can't be like that. We're not only to tell of God's deeds to people who some may say are worthy. We can't be like the disciples that day. But I ask you, do you, when you're telling others of Christ, do you decide who it's socially acceptable or unacceptable to share the gospel with? Who in your mind is good enough to hear about Christ or the deeds of God? Be honest with yourself. Think through in your mind, who is the sinner, or what is the sin that someone has committed or is committing that will cause them, you to say to them, nah, I'm not sharing with him or with her. Always remember, when you're sharing the gospel, you're not preaching morality. Or at least you shouldn't be. You're preaching Christ. That's what I'm about, and that's what all believers should be about. Now, just back to our overseas trip whilst we were on long service leave. I want to tell you of an encounter we had with a taxi driver when we travelled from Edinburgh Airport to our hotel in the city. Our driver was a Polish immigrant to the UK. When he picked us up at the airport, we began to talk with him. We talked a lot about how he learned English and his time in Scotland. And then we talked about his family, both in Scotland and his parents back in Poland. His wife is Polish, and they also have a couple of young children. During the conversation, I asked him whether he was a Christian. And it was then that he said that he had been a Catholic. He talked about how he had previously moved away from the church, but now with his kids, he wanted to teach them some of the good moral and ethical teachings of the church. But from the conversation, it was clear that his focus was not on Christ and the gift of salvation to all those who believe in his name. Well, I couldn't help myself. I shared with him the good news of the eternal hope that may be found in Christ alone. Well, by this time, we had arrived at the hotel. Our bags were on the footpath. I'd paid the fare, but we still talked. By God's grace, I was prepared to give an answer for what I believed. I was prepared to share the real eternal hope in Christ for those who believe in his name. In obedience to God's command, I was able to declare God's deeds among the people, or in this case, before this man. Now, unlike the woman at the well with our Lord, the taxi driver didn't repent and believe on the spot. I don't even know if he took in what I said, but he could have gone off after I'd paid the bill, but he stayed and talked. I pray for that man. I don't even know his name, but what a blessing. On holidays, no pressure. I was free to proclaim Christ. So the question I have for you, in your personal mission, are you declaring God's needs without discrimination to the people? I know I share God's deeds in Christ as Alison and I are in the outback, but are you comfortable where you're at? Do you think you should just leave it to someone else? Is it in your mind someone else's job? You know, Psalm 105 wasn't written to the priesthood of that day. It wasn't written to the elders of the community. It wasn't even written to those patrolling in the outback with Presbyterian Inland Mission. It's a psalm addressed to all God's people, to share with all people without distinction based on colour, gender, or even the nature of their sin. So just wrapping up, are you thanking God in every situation, both the good things he provides, the things we need, the loved ones we have, as well as the suffering we endure? Are you calling on God? Are you calling upon his name in faith and not abusing his name, using it in vain? And finally, are you telling the people, anyone who'll listen, of his deeds, including specifically his work of salvation, even to Polish taxi drivers? May God bless Psalm 105, verse 1, and its three commands to you today. It truly is my job description, but is it yours too? Let's pray. Our Father and our God, your word is living. And we thank you, God, for the commands which you gave us in just that one short verse. May we take on board your commands this day. May we continue to call upon your name, to be thankful and to share of the gospel, telling of your deeds before this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to join together in singing the hymn number 529, Faith in Thy Name, O Lord.
Friends, thanks for being with us this morning. Please, please do stay for lunch. Meet Colin and Alison and Stuart. They'll be leaving by the door on my left, and you can gather with them immediately over there. And also, if you're free on Wednesday, don't forget that other really important fun lunch during the week. Join us on Wednesday in the building to my right. And now may grace, mercy and peace from God the Father, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen.